God, we thank you so much for the word today and for the Spirit of God being in this place. We invite your presence in, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the revelator to the church, to minister in and through us today, Father. We thank you that as we open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, that the word of God is coming forth today in Jesus' name to inspire, to encourage, to reprove, to correct, to give us sound doctrine. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. If you would, we're going to take a look at a message today entitled The Three Benefits of Finding God. You've heard people say years ago, you know, I found the Lord. You say, what happened to you? I found God. Well, what happened to him? He found Jesus. What happened to him? Well, God wasn't really lost. We were lost. But when we finally hook up with him and come back home to God, we say we found God. And God has enticed us with that because there's benefits. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all thy benefits. There are benefits in serving God. There's benefits in seeking, searching, and finding the Lord. If you turn with me to Jeremiah 29, 13, we'll read, as you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And you shall seek me and find me. God says, if you seek me, you can and will find me when you search with all of your heart. So we're looking here at seeking to find and then searching with the heart. I believe there's people who we used to term found Christ. We're born again. We found Jesus. But our heart is not in it. So we don't find the rest of God. We don't find the other things, the benefits of God. We could have raised our hand, come down the aisle of a church, given our life to Christ. We might have prayed with a college buddy and got born again. We might have prayed on television with a televangelist and got born again. But what about the heart? There's more of God to be found. There's benefits. God is not saying give up everything you got and come follow me and you get nothing. That's not the deal. God said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of the benefits. And we're going to talk about three benefits about being born again, three spiritual benefits. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 verse 7 and we'll read. In Isaiah 55 verse 7, we find that the first benefit to seeking and finding God is pardon. Pardon. Isaiah 55, 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will be abundantly pardoned. Isaiah 55, 7 in the Message Bible reads, seek God while he may be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil abandon their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. Now, what's available through God? Pardon. Now, I believe that when you go out on the streets, or if you were out of church one time, you're out in the world and you come across a Christian, and the Christian begins to talk to you about Christ and to talk about Jesus. Maybe you're fornicating and they talk about the sin of having sex outside of marriage. Maybe you're an adulterous affair and you have a sin outside of a marital affair. Maybe you're glutton and you're overeating or abusing your temple. Maybe you're a liar and you just tell little white lies. And that person begins to talk from the word of God about those things. There's something you feel. There's a guilt that you feel. People will actually get violent and get upset. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? You just think you're righteous? You think better? Who are you? You do it too. Why are people so upset? You can tell people almost anything but the gospel. When you start giving the word, why? Because the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides asunder spirit and soul. A two-edged sword, it cuts you going in, it cuts you coming out, it cuts you backwards, it cuts you forward. And when you speak the word of God to somebody, it hurts them. Because they have within them the consciousness of sin. They're walking around, even though they're trying to hide it with smoking and drinking and carousing and TVs and movies and not going to slow down for a minute to consider the state of their heart. They keep their lives so busy and just frivolity and everything just moving around. Everything's going, because if I slow down, I have to face myself. If I slow down, I have to stop and think and face eternity. You might even have to say, I don't like myself. You might say, I don't like my situation. You might say, I'm not a good person. Why do you know that? Why do they have that conscience? Because a man or woman that's not born again is walking around with a sin consciousness because they need to be forgiven. They need to be pardoned. And if you seek God, you'll find him. And one of the benefits of finding God is pardon. I thought I was a pretty good person, but I knew I wasn't perfect. But when I came to the Lord and I gave my life to him, there was a certain peace that came on me because I rolled it all over on him. God says, I know you have problems, but I love you anyway. By my grace, I will receive you. If you just ask me to come into your heart and to save you, I will come in. And I did it. And just a peace came about me. But why? Because I didn't feel guilty anymore. I felt like it was all taken away. If you're born again, you know what it is when you're carrying sin around and you finally repent of it. And you give that to the Lord and you sense a lifting of that burden. You can't walk around out of fellowship with God and not sense that burden of guilt. And it's there and it's evident because people come talk to you and it bothers you. I don't want to hear no preacher telling me how to live. Why? You messing it up by yourself? What you don't want to hear is you don't want to face the guilt. And the only way to get rid of the guilt is to come to God. The only way to get rid of the guilt is to seek God. God gave us a consciousness to guide us towards him. If everybody was happy sinning, they'd just be happy out there and it wouldn't matter what you preach. It wouldn't even bother you no more than looking at you saying any, meeny, miny, mo. But you can say anything to anybody but the gospel. When you start sharing the word, people want you to shut up. If they don't love God and they're not willing to change and they don't want to be right, they want you to shut up. Why? Just ignore me. Let me talk, but ignore me. Well, I don't think you should say that. I don't think you should say that. If you start preaching righteousness, folks start wanting you to shut up. Because the power of the word of God and the guilt that's already in them. Hey, you know, you need a pardon. Just receive the pardon. It's available. God told us real clearly. He said, look, he said, if you seek me and find me with that open heart, I will forgive you. I'll pardon you. I'll take it away. I mean, look what it said. Let the wicked forsake his way. Seek God while he's at hand, while he may be found. They say, why he may be found? Because you don't know if today is your last day. You may believe it's not. You may hope it's not. But there's somebody dead right now who died this morning, who thought they would have this evening. They thought they would have another moment, thought they would have another day. I'll give forgiveness again. I'll pardon then. No, they needed to have sought God before today, while he could be found. They needed to have made that decision. God, I know on the inside of me that God is right, and I know that you exist, and the things people said all my life, I know it's good, but Lord, I've just been putting it off and putting it to the side. The benefit is to pardon. You'll never be whole. There are people who spend their whole life avoiding God, chasing money, chasing everything else, just like Solomon did. Had everything in the world, women, wine, song, money, power, position, fame. He had everything there was, had a kingdom, had gold. He had everything you think a man could want. And he said, all of it still is nothing. Paul says, I count all that I have and all that I know is just a dung hill or a pile of refuge or a pile of whatever, manure. He said, I count it all as that because if I don't have peace with God. And what people are really seeking, already think they'll spend a whole life seeking money to make it to see if that make them happy. Spend a whole life seeking fame, become famous, that make them happy. Spend a whole life seeking women and men, it doesn't make them happy. Because the thing that you're missing, I always say like this, there's a hole in everybody's heart that's God-sized. And until you put God in there, you'll never feel whole. I can be at peace because I'm at peace with God. I couldn't be at peace if I wasn't at peace with the Lord. If I was at war with God, all I'm going out there doing my own thing, I'm avoiding church, I flip the channel if a Christian radio station come on or Christian TV show comes on, I can't watch it more than 5 seconds. Why? Why do you want to get away from it so quick? People want to get away from it because they feel guilty. It's almost like you know you did a crime. Every time the police drive by, you duck and hide because you know you're guilty. That policeman may not be looking for you, but you walking around with a guilt conscience. You hear, ah! You know, if you hadn't done anything, you don't have any guilt. So if God has a Christian or somebody come by and preach a little word, you trying to get out the way quick as you can. You get mad, you get violent with it, you fuss and get out of my, I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you what to do. Why is that? Because you have a guilt conscience. And God is drawing you. The goodness of God is drawing you into repentance, is drawing you into pardon. And when you seek God and find him, he has pardon available to you. God's forgiveness is available to any person who will abandon their sin and their ungodly thinking. Now, the pardon is available to whom? And the Message Bible says they have to abandon their way of life and their way of thinking. how you think. The Bible says, as a person thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. As you think, so are you. You have to abandon the way you're thinking. If we think we can skip church and not do anything for God and just live our life and go to heaven, we're thinking wrong. We got to abandon that thinking. If we think you can live any kind of way, well, I like her, she likes me, we almost married, let's just fornicate. Well, you know, I'm out a little on the side, I ain't hurting my wife, let's just do that. Oh, I don't need to take care of my body, it can have control, I'll feed it whatever it wants to do. I'll treat people any way I want to, they deserve it. If we think we can live how we want to, we have not abandoned our way. So let us not think we are pardoned. We have to come into righteousness. We have to be pushing against the spirit of the flesh in favor of the spirit of God to obey and receive the pardon. I mean, it's like if the judge, you remember that story where the man had, this guy owed this rich guy a bunch of money and it was a good amount of money. And he came to the guy and the guy said, look, you know, I'm in a good mood and all. I'll forgive you your debt. Go that way. You don't owe me anymore. Then that same man went to somebody who owed him a small amount of money. And he went to that person and he was like, give me my money. You give me my. And the guy's like, I want to pay you on Friday when I get paid. I can't pay you right now, but I will pay you. I'm not cheap. I'm going to pay you. I just don't have it right now. Give me the money. Give me the money. And then he called and said, throw that man in the debtor's prison till he paid the debt. And then the man who forgave that man of such a great amount, and this man wouldn't forgive his brother of a small amount. He came and said, you wicked, evil man. I'm going to take you and throw you. You owe me again. And he went and threw him in the debtor's prison. Now, weigh these things. We have a great debt to God, but yet God forgave us. And God is always there to forgive you. But you have to come to him for the forgiveness. If you run from God, when somebody comes and say, they owe you, say, I don't want to hear. God says, hey, you know, repent. Confess this. I don't want to hear it, God. I don't want to hear it. Somebody, and God's not going to come before you very often and talk to you. He's going to send a preacher. He's going to send a Christian. He's going to send a radio program, a TV program. But if every time those things come on, you flip away from it, same thing saying, God, I don't hear you. La, 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 la. I don't hear you, God. La, la, la. I do not hear you. All God's trying to do is get you in a position of forgiveness. He's trying to get you so you don't have to walk around with that guilt. He's telling you, he's almost begging, seek me. You'll find me. But I won't always be able to be found. But right now, seek me while I may be found, that I might pardon you. And that's a great benefit to be pardoned. Now, finding, God's forgiveness is available to any person who abandons sin and ungodliness. But what people don't want to understand is they had to give up worldliness to go up to heaven. You always had to give up to go up. You got to give up where you currently are to go up to the next level. You had to give up this job to go to the next higher position. You had to give up this paycheck to go to a higher paycheck. Life is full of transitions. The question is the direction you transition in. Do you transition towards God and godliness or towards the world and worldliness? We should be transitioning as Christians towards God by receiving that pardon, giving up this world, giving up the things of this world. Does that mean don't eat, don't sleep, don't drink? Doesn't mean that at all. It means the love of these things. It means giving up that everything in the world is more important to me than God. It means putting God first place in your life. Hey, I got to give up the tithe, which is not mine anyway, so I can go up in my finances of God. I had to give up my nasty attitude so I can have more friends. I had to give up some of my time so I can lay up treasure in heaven and be a blessing to somebody else. You have to give up to go up in life. All you get to choose is the direction, but if you want to increase, you got to give up. It costs you something to go somewhere else. But if you give up sin to receive righteousness, how challenging is that? Not that big a deal. The rewards of God are so great. Pardon, I thank God I can stand before him as the righteous God in Christ Jesus. And that's not because I'm perfect, that's because I'm forgiven. You remember in court, in court case, you may have a guy, I know we had a guy at Rhema who was a preacher, and he's out preaching now, got a church in Atlanta, I think. And this guy was wild. He was in prison, several times in prison, then he cut up so much, they just threw him in there. But he was bad. And they threw him in there and he got a hold of some of Kenneth Hagin's teaching of the word, and he received the word of God, got saved, got born again, changed his mind, changed his whole life. He found out what was probably gave his life to God. And eventually, although he had a life sentence, he got a pardon from the governor. He got a full pardon because they said this man here is not the man we put in jail 8-10 years ago. This is not that man. He was in there witnessing the people. He was sharing the word. We ain't talking about no foxhole religion. He was getting folks saved. He was cleaning up the prison. I mean, this dude, the warden was like, this dude right here is like, he's changing the whole spirit of this place. I mean, the inmates are easier to work with. He's getting all these people born again because he was one of them. So he's bold enough to go with them toe to toe. And you ain't scaring me. And he cut right to their heart. He cut through all that defensiveness and all that pain and all that hurt. And he talked about the goodness of God draws men to repentance. He talked about the forgiveness of God. He said, you in prison right now and these people may have locked you up, but I know someone who can pardon you. And prisoners are interested in being pardoned. Now, he didn't think he'd ever get out, but he did so much. They heard about him up in the state and they checked things and so forth. And the governor said, it's no reason to have you in prison because you're no threat. And they gave him a full pardon from a life sentence. And he's out preaching now. I heard him personally. Helen, I heard him minister at camp meeting, Brother Randy. And he's a wild something for Jesus. He's just wild for the Lord. I mean, he knows where he came from. And he knows how he got from there. The governor, I think it was the state of Alabama. Now, he's pastor in Atlanta, but I think it's the governor of the state of Alabama gave him a full pardon. And people were like, you can't pardon this man for what he did. You can't let him away from that. They said, well, the man who did that is gone. And then when they talked to him, they said to the people who he had done some harm to, their family members, they said, this ain't the same man. Not even the same man they put in jail. God made a new creature of him. God pardoned him. That's a benefit. That's a benefit of giving your life to God, finding him, seeking him and giving your life. God would take away the old man and make you a new man. Take away the old person to make you a brand new person. He will renew your mind. He will reshape you. He will pardon you. And God gives one type of pardon, full pardon. Full pardon. Nothing to be held against you. No rights to be held back. Fully reinstated. And that's what Brother Randy said. He said, I can even vote again. Because as a felon, he couldn't vote, and they took all that away. He can vote again. He said, most of them get pardoned, don't get that. He said, I'm reinstating my citizenship. I'm full pardon, everything. It's taken away. And he says, I don't know who that was, but that's not me anymore. And he lived that way. They got recognized. Oh, it's a blessing. It's a benefit serving God. Not only is pardon a benefit, but turn with me to Philippians 4:7, and you'll find the second benefit of finding God is peace. God forgives all your sins, takes the guilts away. He pardons you, but God also gives you peace. And I really believe what a lot of people really want is just peace. I mean, there's just, in the world, there's no peace. It's something going on everywhere, all around you. You just want to look at the world and say, just stop. Just stop. I want to get off. Stop. And it's getting intense. People slit their throats, slit their wrists, commit suicide because they're lacking peace. I can't find any peace in the world. Everywhere I go, there's trouble, there's strain, there's stress. I need some peace. I can't take it anymore. And they say the only peace is the peace of death. But you know what? There's peace in life, but that's found in God. A benefit of serving God, a benefit of living for God, a benefit of finding God is not only that he'll pardon you of all your sins and take that guilt conscience away, that you can stand before him and say, I like me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm pardoned. God has pardoned me. And then I can stand here and say, you know what? I've got peace. But what about this going on? What about it? What about that going on? What about it? But didn't you hear about this? I heard about it. What about it? What about it? What? You don't have enough sense to be worried. No, I got too much faith to be worried. God says, fret not, be anxious about anything, but in all things, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding will come upon you. No, I ain't got to worry about nothing. Well, Pastor, aren't you worried about the economy? Nope. Aren't you worried about the job market? Nope. Aren't you worried about the church? Nope. Aren't you worried about what's going on in Iraq? Nope. Aren't you worried? Nope. Why are you worried? Nope. Are you worried that I'm not worried? Does that worry you too? You find, Martha, Martha, thou art worried about many things. Thou art vexed about many things. Why don't you sit at the foot of Jesus like Mary, who have chosen the better thing? I think I may have mixed Mary and Martha up. I get that mixed up sometime. But you can't be worried about everything that's going on. And some people are just professional worriers. You can't be fretting and be at peace at the same time. I learned a long time ago that if I lose my peace, I can't hear God. I can't hear God in the middle of a lot of craziness. And you know, there's folk all around you with craziness they're trying to bring to you and share with you. You got to look at folks that still have peace. Sometimes people, I've actually had people get upset and say that I'm not a caring person. I don't care. I don't. Amen. Am I supposed to? The Bible said, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. Why? I mean, if I can't do anything about it, I don't care. But don't you care about the people starving in Indonesia? I'm not going over there. I don't feel led to send any money. No, I don't care. I love them, but I don't pray or care. Because there's Jesus, when they were riding Jesus, there's somebody. Jesus said, look, they'll be poor with you always. Do you expect me to rob them of their lot? Would you say he didn't care about them? Well, you know he still loved them, but he's one person. If you think you're going to be more than one person, all you're going to do is weigh yourself down with burdens and cares and put burdens on yourself that the Lord has not given you. God says that his yoke is easy, his burdens are light. But if you let other people put their yoke and burden, who God has laid on their heart to be a missionary to Indonesia, they went to Indonesia. You think they're worried about this church? Do you think they're worried about the things I'm concerned about? Not worried, but the things. Do you think they're worried about us at UFA? I don't think they're thinking about us. And you know what? I'm not thinking about them. And that's just where it should be, because that God laid those people on their heart. That's their responsibility. Pastor Cook, you should care for everybody. I said, find that scripture, because I keep seeing scriptures about not caring for everything. I just don't find one about always care. I hear that when you carry care, it brings fretting and fear and doubt and unbelief and despair and distress. When my God says, come unto me, all ye the heavy burden, and I will give you peace. So if I'm not, God tells me to follow after peace, be led by peace, then why would I give up my peace to be overly concerned about something I can't do anything about or I'm not led to do anything about? It's Satan that has told you that care is a fruit of the spirit. I think care is a work of the flesh. Oh, Pastor, you can't say that. Now, I understand there's a difference between the word care and the word concern. And Satan always messes up the word so he can get you messed up. Yes, you should have love for people, but I can have love. I may love a woman over here and not marry her. I chose to marry this woman over here. Is that, did I do something wrong with her? Well, why didn't you marry her? I didn't care to. You know, is that wrong? You know, I may care for this more than I care for that. I may care for this more than that. Don't get all caught up in all that. You lose your peace. What God leads you to do, do that. Who God leads you to minister to, minister to. Who He doesn't lead you to minister to, don't get caught up with it. You are one person. You cannot do everything. Somebody might say, Pastor Cook, don't we have a feed the hungry? Don't we have a this? Do you not care for the people? I said, I do what God calls me to do, and I don't do everything else. Yeah, but the church I came from, what did you say? The church you came from. You know what from mean? Removed from? You'll be over here now. And there's stuff I do they don't do. Do they teach on health? Do they have the marriage seminars and the marriage teaching? I'm doing what I'm told to do. They're doing what they're told to do. And I don't care what they're doing. And they shouldn't care what I'm doing. They should each do what God told them to do. Everybody be led by God. It all get done. And a lot of people don't understand that. That's how you keep your peace. Don't mind other people's ministry. I'm the pastor of this church. If you try and pastor church with me, you're just going to get full of care. Because you're going to be trying to carry the weight of stuff that you have no control over. Now, I'm really concerned. I think that slide should be blue. I really like blue. And, you know, you could be all caring about that and all upset about that, and it's still going to stay that color. I think we should meet earlier. We should have early morning. I really think we should have it. And we still going to have the services we have. And a lot of people, when you're not doing something about something and can't do something about it, and it's not an area you have authority, don't care about it. There's so many people that meddle in other people's ministries and other people's business because they think they're helpful with their care. I cast my care upon the Lord. And God, I trust that if that's the pastor, he got it. I ain't the pastor. I imagine you put him over instead of me. So I think you know what you're doing, even though I don't. And it's somebody else's ministry. I may not do it that way if it's there, but I'm not them. They're afraid to do it however they feel led to do. Oh, they got that ministry? Well, if they got that, that's fine. But you might have a lot of people want you to have that, too. I'm not going to worry about that because I lose my peace trying to do something I have no anointing for. You lose your peace trying to mind somebody else's ministry. You lose your peace trying to mind your children's business. You got grown children. You trying to make sure they do everything perfect. You should have done all that when they were in the house. They are gone now. Leave them alone. Let them make their mistakes. Let them do whatever. You be available to give them wisdom, but don't be shoving it down their mind. Your age to have taught them is gone. Now you just stand back as a volunteer instructor as they come to you. Don't get in there. You're going to mess up their peace. They're trying to do their thing and mama all up in the other one's business or daddy's always up in the other one's business. And all you can do is mess up what they have. You're not being helpful. God will give you peace, but you do things God's way. Look at Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. It will keep your heart and it will keep your mind. A peace that comes from God that is just beyond understanding. How can you have peace in the midst of a trial? How can you have joy? Don't you know what's going on? Peace, be still. And when you really get the peace of God, other people are worried and concerned about everything. They think you're crazy, might call you everything but your name. But you know what? You look at them and smile because you're at peace. And it drives people crazy that you're at peace. Don't you know the world's coming out? You know, all I know is Jesus is still on the throne. And I'm faithful, so he's going to be faithful. That's all I. But don't you know that? But aren't you concerned? Aren't you really want to try to help the people? And you know, you got to inform him. And I said, you know what? I got to inform him what God leads me to inform him. Got to help him what God say help him. Yeah, but don't you know? No, I don't have to do that. Don't have to do that. Folks that get you in so much mess, I'm most of the time at peace. I have moments when I get intense, but most of the time I'm at peace because I just don't worry about a whole lot. Your wife would tell me, I don't worry about a whole lot. This going on there. I say, well, you know, whatever, you know, we do this. I get times where I get frustrated by things like anybody else, and I have to remember, don't give up my peace. Let me get my peace back. But most of the time, I'm just going to say, yeah, let's think about it. Let's see what we're going to do, or we'll see. We'll consider it. And I learned that because the Lord told me when he called me to the ministry, he said, my son, you've been faithful and just in your service to me. And he said, you must learn patience. But there should be times when I shall not come to you for a season. You must learn patience because I was not a patient person. I wanted to hurry up and get it done right now all the time or everything. I went on full throttle all the time. And I'm learning to throttle back and look before I leap some of this and to move a little bit slower. And when things go on, not to react, but take time to respond. Because, see, you're going to lose your peace if you just, something happened in life and you're on full alert. Somebody say something. What? They can't say that. You know, something happened. We're going to do something. Go do something now. You ain't even stop to think of what we're going to do. We got to do something. Being reactionary. You're not going to have peace if you live like that. You're not going to have peace living like that. But God gave you peace. Look what it says in the Message Bible in Philippians 4:6-7. Don't fret or worry. Sound like a commandment to me. Do not. Oh, I'm fretting and worrying. Sin. That's not sin. Sin. You got to give up your way of thinking and give up your lifestyle. So if worrying is part of your lifestyle, it's sin. If overly being concerned about things you have no control of, overly caring about things, it's sin. Call it sin or you'll babysit it and nurse it. It's sin. Cast the care over on the Lord. He cares for you. If you don't cast it and you hang on to it, the same thing as somebody carrying the sin around with them that they should give up. God says so many times, fret not. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Instead of saying, go somewhere and start praying. Because a lot of folks get upset, and then I got to talk, and I got to do this. If it's bothering you that much, just go to prayer and get your peace back. Go to prayer and get things in perspective. Look at this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into a prayer. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Philippians 4:6-7, Message Bible. And that's exactly what happens. You can take on praise and praise your way in righteousness. I mean, praise has been called the highest form of prayer. Because praise is purely communing with God and telling him about his wonderful great deeds. You cannot talk about how great your God is without God getting big. And people have problems and they find somebody to share it with. They find somebody to say it to. They find other people who agree with them. Then they get a moaning party going and a caring party going and a complaining party going. And the Bible said, cast the care on the Lord. Go to him in prayer. Why don't you just start praising him? They start saying the economy is going bad. Oh, God, I praise you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider. I thank you, Lord, that you've made me the head and not the tail and above and not beneath. I thank you, God, that my seed shall never be found begging bread. You pray back the word to him like Sister Ellen taught this morning. You give God back his word in prayer. God said, put me in remembrance of my word. Yes. put me in remembrance of my word. God, Father, you said that my seed shall not be found breaking bread. You said the days of the righteous are full, Lord. You said that I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe. And you know what? When you get through with that, you ain't worried no more. You ain't even troubled no more. You're not even upset. I like what one person said, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But what do you think? The almighty, super sufficient God, what do you think he thinks when the devil comes to you and say, I'm going to kick your butt? You say, oh, the devil's going to kick my butt. He's going to kick my butt. You don't even go tell God the devil's going to kick your butt. You just sit there, he's going to kick my butt. You go tell your friend, I ain't going outside. He say, going to kick my butt when I come outside today. I ain't going outside. And that's what folks do. They fret. They worry. They get upset. Who is Satan? Who is, the Bible says that in the end times when we see him, in the millennial king, when Jesus comes back and they say, we see him, they said people going to look and say, is this him who have troubled the worlds? Because they say you're going to look at him and you're going to be like, this little something here, all them years worrying and fretting about what he said he's going to do to me. This is he who troubled the world. He's a little bitty old fella with a big mouth. And if you listen to him more than you listen to God, you walk around afraid. But when you find God, you find pardon and you find peace. If the devil start lying, go to God. If the devil start lying, just turn to God. God, you know what the devil said? And the devil said, God will tell you in a minute. You know he's a liar, don't you? Oh, so the opposite of what he said is true. Oh, yeah. And Satan be sitting there saying, I'm going to kick your butt. And you be like, man, I'm going to knock you out. Oh, I'm going to make you sick. Glory. And he going to be like, what's going on? Because you hearing the opposite of everything he's saying. Because a liar just believed the opposite of what he's saying. The economy's getting bad. Woo, glory. I'm going to be blessed. A blessing is coming. Oh, you're going to die from this one. God's going to heal me. The devil's a liar. Keep talking, devil. Keep talking. You're just encouraging me more and more. Because if I know you the father of lies, don't nothing come out of you but lies. And everything you say that's bad, I know good is coming. Because the devil will always turn the heat up just before the breakthrough. He will always turn up. So when he starts turning up, I start shouting louder. Glory! I go from being peaceful to being excited. Whatever the devil said, whatever he put out there is going to work for my good. And you have to be like that. This is not something we say. This is not something we make up. This is true. When the devil starts lying to me, I'm going to just start saying, God, I ain't even going to tell him what the devil said. I'm going to just start praising the Father. Ain't no use in dealing with it. No use in dealing with it. Because the devil says, he just look at it. Just look at it. I like that one little thing that we had at Word of Faith. I had a picture of it. I don't know where it's at, but it was a guy. And he was cracking on me. He had a belly laugh. He was laughing so hard his stomach was hurting. And this is character of this guy. He's laughing so hard he's falling out. And the caption over top said, the devil said what? And I thought that was just so cute because you just like, this guy's like, he's falling out. And the devil said what? And that's exactly what it is. When the devil said you're going under, you should see the humor in that. I'm a child of the living God. And you think that what you say has any bearing on me? I'm a child of the allness of the muchness, the almighty God. And you think I'm a child of the healer. I'm a child of the provider. I'm a child of the one who sees the beginning from the end. I'm a child of the one who created everything and is almighty and all powerful. And apart from him, there was nothing made except he made it. I am a child and in good standing with the creator of heaven and earth. And what you say is supposed to mean what to me? Nothing. Whether it's a reporter or anybody else talking for the devil, it'll mean nothing to me. And when you get like that, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Because folks is moved by what they see. Satan will show them a whole lot to see to be moved by. But those who are moved by what they believe, they shall have peace. You will have peace when you keep your mind stayed on God. Turn with me to Isaiah 26:34. Isaiah 26:34 says, God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God and who trusts in him. Now, notice it says stays on God and trusts in him. You know what, God? The devil said this. The newscaster said this. It looks like this, but you said I'm the head not the tail. Now, who am I going to believe? If you trust in God, you keep your peace. Because when the bad report comes, if you believe the good report, you don't change. So if they come and say that, hey, we're being attacked and people are invading, you don't have to change. Hey, the economy is going to fall out. I'll tell you right now, it is going to fall out. And I ain't worried now, and I know it's going to fall out. I ain't worried about it because my seed should never be found begging bread. You can stay at peace. God never changes. If you want to have peace, you have to tie into God, because if you tie into the world, you will never have peace because the world is always changing. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're in between. God is still. And when you tie yourself into that, the only thing in the universe that doesn't change is God. And you, if you got enough sense to hook up with him. But everything else changes. So if I want to be stable, if I want to be steady, if I always want to be at peace, when you look at a lake or a river or an ocean and you see it tumultuous and the wind blowing all over the place, do you call that at peace? No, you say that thing is, it's trouble. You call it at peace when you look at a pond and it's still. You call it at peace. When you look out and everything is as it should be, you say the world's at peace. But when everything's all crazy, it's not at peace, because peace is in that calm. But if you keep your mind on God, who is peace, then when things happen, God steers you through the storm and you stay at peace. This is the goal, Christian, because remember, we talk about getting the full benefit, the three benefits. You get pardon, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And when you get all your heart, you find God and you find those benefits. You find that pardon, what you have. You're born again. You've been pardoned by God. You know that. But some of you have given up your peace. You haven't sought God enough with your heart. I mean, with your spirit. This is a spiritual thing. The things of God are spiritual discern, not natural discern. What I'm telling you is true. I'm not worried about it. That's because you're crazy. I'm not crazy either. I'm not worried about it because it's all going to be well with me. I have a promise from God and I trust him. I trust his word. Oh, you just crazy. I say, yeah, I'm crazy like Jesus. Crazy like Peter, Paul, and John. Crazy like everybody else. I said, don't you have the examples of millions of people? Don't you have a book, a historical book that shows this? Don't you know these are facts? That people who stay with God are blessed. I don't care if I was in those age where they were guillotining people and cutting off their hair for Christianity. I'll sit there and have peace. And you see my hair roll off with a smile. Next time you see me in heaven. Because that, what can you do? All man can do is take your body. Hey, you liberated my spirit. Now I go straight to heaven. That's what I'm trying to get anyway. If that's all you can do to me, that's all you can do to me. The Bible says you should fear God, not Satan, because God can cast both your spirit and your soul into hell. Man, you shouldn't fear, because all man can do is send you to heaven early. And how bad is that? I'm going to punish you. You get to go to heaven early. Bring it. Ain't no big deal. If that's all you can do, I ain't even afraid of you. And too many people are afraid of men and worry about the eyes of men and what they look like in men and what they are in the sights of men. But these men's ideals keep changing. You can't have no peace if you follow all the fashion and feel your clothes out of date when they're out of date. Can't have peace there because you're following the eyes of men. Anybody say anything about my clothes, my clothes, my house, my car, I tell them all the same thing. It's a good thing you didn't buy that. I'm like, well, you know, I don't like your clothes. Well, it's a good thing you didn't buy any like that. Because I wouldn't want you to wear anything you don't like. But you might notice I don't shop for you. If I like it, my wife like it, I don't care what you think. Oh, Pastor, you don't care. You got it now. I don't care. I don't care what you think about me. If you're God, then I'm concerned about it. Other than that, hey, if you bought all my clothes, I might then give you a say-so. Pastor, I want to spend $1 million buying you a wardrobe. Well, what do you think I should wear? Let me see if I like it. Armani, I think I could stretch and wear that. Yeah, I think I could sacrifice. I could give up my jeans and go for some Armani. Yeah, I give you a say-so if you buy my clothes. If you buy my clothes, shut up. I don't care. I tell my flesh to shut up and your flesh too. Shut up. You know, that car's kind of big. Doesn't get good gas mileage. You think you drive that? I think if you don't like it, you definitely shouldn't buy one. Other than that, it's my business, not yours, is it? And it's funny how people get. But when you're that kind of person and you're in other people's ministry, you're not going to have peace. Because the Bible says it is he that meddleth in gender strife. If you gender of strife, you'll never have peace. First of all, you won't have any friends. People won't want to be around you. Learn to leave other people's business theirs and your business yours. And nobody said anything about my clothes because everybody already know I don't care. So it doesn't matter. But you have got to be able to keep your peace. If I try and dress for everybody, I won't have my peace. If I try and drive for everybody, I want my peace. If I try to live where everybody want me to live, I want to have peace. If you try and say everything the way people want you to say it and preach the way they want you to preach, you wouldn't have peace. You just say, Lord, I do the best I can. I'm confident in that. Let the chips fall where they may. And that's how I can have peace, even if you choose not to. But that's the same way you're going to have peace. Not be worried about other people. Just please the Lord. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things are honest, what things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Thinking about the things in this world brings fear, worry, confusion. You must keep your mind on God, His word, and other good things if you want to keep peace in your life. You can't keep your mind on the news and all the bad news report that comes on every day, finding everything bad in the world to tell you about it. I don't care. There's nothing I can do about that. I don't care. Somebody got shot in Africa. Somebody got killed in Indonesia. Somebody got murdered over in England. Fine. Talk to people who live around them in that neighborhood. That's got nothing to do with me. I don't care. Pastor, aren't you keeping up with current events? Yep. Last thing I know, we still winning. The devil's still behind, but we got to stay in the fight. But I think if we keep pressing, we're going to win. Yeah. Yeah. Did I get it wrong? I think I got that right, right? Oh, you talk about something temporary. I ain't got no time for that foolishness. You got no time for that. You talk about something happening now. I ain't got no time for that. I thought you talk about something real. I thought you talk about what's really going on. I ain't talking about no wrestling with flesh and blood. I'm talking about the real battle. Good and evil. Good's winning. But we got to keep pressing if we want to get more with us. That's what I thought we were talking about. Pastor Cook, you out of touch. I'm out of touch with everything carnal. Trying to get more out of touch. People say, Pastor Cook, you watched the Super Bowl? No, I was doing something. What were you doing? I don't know. It was something else. I don't remember what it was. Ain't nothing wrong with if you want to watch it, but I, you know, I didn't play football. I know football, I understand it, but I didn't play it. I played basketball. I try and catch quite a bit of playoffs. So everybody got their favorite sport. I'm not putting anybody down to watch football. That's their sport. But if I miss basketball, I don't care either. Because there's no eternal results in any of that. Like my dad used to say, if you spend all your time making them money, you ain't gonna make no money. And when you're sitting there watching all them shows, you're making $1 million salaries and you're sitting there playing games and watching games and here it is, your marriage is falling apart. You need to be reading the marriage book. You got a game, you're losing in the first quarter. You better get it fixed for the fourth quarter come around. No game. Time for no games. I will watch a game every now and then. I am not against sports, but sports fit in my extracurricular activity, not my main purpose. If I have time left over, I will watch a game. But I'm not going to put a game over something that's more important. And you think about it, it's real. I want peace. I want peace in my marriage. I want peace in my finances. Some brothers need to read a book on how to handle money so they can get some peace in their finances. How to have a better marriage, have peace in life, how to have better peace within themselves, how to love themselves. And you watching somebody play a game. If you spend all that time making that man some money on commercials, endorsements and all that, I know what do you ain't got no peace. Do that stuff with your extracurricular time. Don't make time for that. That's why if I catch a game, I catch it. Very seldom do I plan to catch a game. If I catch a TV show and I turn it on, I catch it. But I don't do anything regular that I'm trying to find. You know, there were a few shows. I used to watch that Jesse Ventura truth show, that thing about conspiracy theory. I like that. I think there's some truth in some of that. And I check a lot of that. But as far as the news, I don't waste my time watching the news because I know what's happening. Somebody shot somebody. Somebody slept with somebody. Somebody is about to kill somebody. Some politician did something wrong. Somebody got caught. Is it any different any night? It's always the same. They just change the name to protect the guilty. It's always the same. I mean, how many times you got to hear the same story and they just change the name to call it news? Nothing new about that. That's old. That ain't news. That's old. That's happening every day. Who is it with? What star is sleeping with what star? Yesterday it was this one. Day before is that one. Now it's this one. Which one on rehab? It's the same stuff. You laughing because you know it's true. I can't give up my peace to get all that drama in my life. I mean, don't you have enough drama in your own life to go find somebody else's life to get involved in? Think on things that are good, lovely, pure, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep you. Not only does finding God have the benefit of pardon and forgiveness from guilt, but also it gives you peace, but it also gives you purpose. Look with me in Ephesians 1:9. It says, making known The third benefit of finding God is purpose, making known to us the mystery of God's will according to his purpose, which is set forth in Christ. God has a purpose for every believer. When you became born again, there's a purpose for you. Look at Ecclesiastes. God has a purpose for you. That purpose, look at Ecclesiastes 12:13 and Amplified, makes it real plain. This is the Solomon who had everything. You list what people think and make them happy. Solomon had it. That man was seeking happiness. He was seeking joy. He was seeking contentment. He was seeking peace. And he listened to everything the world said. If you get education. So he was one of the most scholarly and the wisest men ever lived. Nobody was more educated than Solomon. Solomon knew about geography, geology, before they even had those sciences. He had the wisdom of God on all things. Wiser. Solomon had enough wives and concubines that he could sleep with a different woman every night for 3.5 years. 3.5 years, a different woman every night, and it not be seen a wrong, because that's where the government and everything worked. He said, even with women is vanity amongst vanity. And brothers will spend their whole life trying to run down a girl. If you catch every girl you can, you're going to find out still I'm empty. Girls are chasing man. You'll get that man. Then you'll find out, I wish I was single again. But you thought that was the answer, didn't you? You say, if I just make it to $1 million or $10 million, if I just make it, you'll bust your butt. You'll rob, cheat, steal from God, do everything. Get that money to say, still I'm empty. You list whatever it is. Fame. I want to be popular. I want to be well known. I want to go where everybody knows my name. And they're all so glad I came. That's where I want to go. I want to cheer everybody up. And then you get that position and you still aren't happy. I'm telling you, this is it right here. Solomon went through all of it. Just take his word. Don't have to waste your whole life in vain pursuits, vanity amongst vanity. Look at Solomon, a person who had more than you ever going to be to have. And Solomon said, all has been heard on this matter. The end of the matter is this. Fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is God, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full, the original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of building your character, the foundation of all happiness you can have, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under this sun. And the whole duty of every man is to fear God, to worship, to reverence him, knowing that he is, and to keep his commandments. Now, you can read that and go out there and say, no, I think it's the other way. And you can spend your whole of eternity chasing that pipe dream only to find. I can show you, the news can show you, it's out there. People have had everything you've ever sought apart from God, and there's some of them still not happy. And I guarantee you, a whole lot of them who pretend like they're happy, they aren't. I look at how hard it is they married in Hollywood. And these people have all the money, they have jobs they love, their things is great, but they can't stay married. You know the pain of having a hard relationship or breakup, fighting in the house. Don't think those movies take that pain away. Don't think that money takes that away. They don't know how to, because they never developed their spirit. They're not seeking God. They're seeking the fame. They're seeking the money. They're seeking the excitement. They're seeking the titillization of life to feel tantalized. Man, I want the next exciting thing. Now, here's my co-star. Oh, she's sexy. She's cute. I'm going to leave my wife and sleep with her. Because I'm seeking the next thing to tantalize me. They're seeking that elusive joy apart from God. And it will always elude you, because joy coming from the Lord. Pardon comes from God. Peace comes from God. And purpose comes from God. And you only find those things in God. God has a purpose for you to worship him, to know him, to keep his commandments. He'll bring the pardon. He'll bring the peace. He'll bring the purpose. In summary, the three benefits of finding God, there's so many benefits. There's a plethora. There's a huge amount of benefits in serving God and finding God. But three main ones are forgiveness from sin. I know that when I confess my sin to God, I am right with God. I have no guilt. I have no pain. God, if you came now, I know that I know that I know I'm going, Lord. Not because I'm a perfect person, but because I'm a pardoned person. God has pardoned me of my sins. I'm in right standing with the Lord right now, right this moment. I thank you, God. There's no guilt. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive grace to help. I can talk to you without shame. I'm not afraid to come to prayer. I'm not ducking and hiding conversation with you. I'm not afraid of what you're going to say, God, because I lay it all out to you and say, Lord, I was a sinner. Forgive me. Take it away from me. And I believe and trust in you that you've taken it away, God. I'm pardoned. God, I have the peace because my mind is stayed on you. The world and Satan say contrary things, but my mind is on you, God. And I know that you're my savior and my trust and my faith is in you. God, I thank you that you've given me a purpose to do your word, to do your will. As I read and study the word, there's something else I need to straighten out today. Something else I need to fix in my life. Another word I need to minister. And as I was faithful to do that, then God said, okay, you were faithful in small things. Now I make you rule over much and I'm calling you to minister my word. So then he gave me my specific purpose. You have a specific purpose. Most Christians never go beyond the general purpose of obeying the word, but God has a specific purpose for every person here. But many people never are faithful enough to the revealed will of God to get that spoken word of God that's not yet revealed. Where God would say, I've called you to be a missionary to a certain land. I've called you to be Billy Graham's mother. I've called you and to let them know what their divine call is, because that's beyond the Bible. That's a rhema. That's a spoken word from God to you. But most people are so unfaithful to do the revealed logos, the written word of God, that they never get to hear the spoken word of God. But you know, that's where the joy is at. That's where the reward is at. Getting past doing what you know to doing what you get to do. It's such a blessing. Press into the things of God. Find God. There's more benefits than just these three. Find God. Get to know God. And God will bless your socks off. Finding God allows us to return to that state of perfect communion. Finding God allows us to return as human beings from our fallen state to that perfect state of communion with him. He pardons us. He teaches us how to have peace. He assigns us purpose. It is truly a great benefit to find the Lord. Truly a great benefit. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word today and for the wisdom of your spirit. We thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us, Father.